Yesterday, we talked about what the Bible says about being single. Now, here's some questions for today. Is singleness something to be treasured or avoided? What advantages are there to being single? What does God say about the single life? The answers may shock you. Stick around.
Well, thanks for joining us for this Thursday edition of Living on the Edge with Chip Ingram. I'm Dave Druey, and today we're talking about singleness. Now, don't tune out if you're married, because you probably know someone who's single who could benefit from today's lesson. So whether it's for you or for a friend, stay with us. At the end, Chip will be back with some closing thoughts, and I'll be back to tell you about some helpful resources that will shed some light on how to maximize your effectiveness for God through being single. Now here's Chip with today's message.
I had a chance to speak to Campus Crusade for Christ. Each summer has what they call a summer project. I got a chance to go and speak to them. And as I met one girl, she was obviously Chinese, and she had a very heavy accent. And as we were talking, I asked her name, and she told me, I said, "Where are you from?" And she said, "Queen." I said, "Where? Queen?" And she'd only been in this country 3 years. And I found out she was from the Queens in New York. And then I said, "Well, did you just come over from Hong Kong?" And she said, "Oh, no, I'm from mainland China." I said, "Really?" And you know, I put my math to work. I said, "Now, working with college people, she's only been in the country 3 years. If she came to Christ in this country in 3 years to be ready to go on a summer project all the way across the country as a junior in college, I think either she's one very mature, growing Christian, or she may have become a Christian in China." So I said, "Well, where did you become a Christian?" She says, "Oh, I come from 6 generations of Christians in China." And, you know, my eyes got about this big. And she said, "Some people call it magic, but it's just God doing his work." And, you know, then I thought, "Who? I don't care whether I speak here or not. I want to sit down with this gal and find out about life." And so I said, "What's it like being a Christian in China?" She said, "Very difficult." I said, "Well, tell me, what do you mean?" She said, "If you stand for Christ, you go to prison, many places." And I said, "Wow." I said, "Do you know anyone who's ever been in prison?" And she said, "Yes, we had the church, the home secret church, met in our house, and we had 4 pastors. And she said, "All 4 pastors before we left were captured." And I said, "Well, what happened to them?" She said, "20 years in prison for each one. Right now, in our day, regardless of what the press tells us." I said, "Well, what about their families?" "Oh, very bad." I said, "Well, how do they make it?" "Well, Christians come by and give them a little food. It's very difficult. And now they're labeled." Now, the Apostle Paul has made the point, to be single means you'll have less troubles and less distress in a crisis environment. Now, can you imagine being one of those pastors in China right now and knowing for the next 20 years you're going to be in this work camp? Now, that would be bad enough, wouldn't it? But at least you could say, "Hey, to the glory of God, I stood for you, Lord, and if this is what it means, this is what it means." But to know every day that you wake up, "How's my wife doing? Are my kids eating? I wonder how they're..." Do you see that tension? That's what he's saying here. He's saying here many, many, many times in a crisis environment. And you know, we have some crisis environment in our country, don't we? What about the pressure and crisis of finances and workload and stress? He's saying, if you can receive the gift, it's not for everyone, but if you can receive the gift, you will have such a less trouble-free life, you can have a greater impact. You can be more devoted. In fact, his second reason builds off this. Look at verse 29. It's an explanatory phrase. He says, "What I mean, brothers, if that's not enough, is that the time is short." Paul says the Lord's going to come back. Don't you realize how much there is to do? Don't you realize that we're living for this long and eternity is this long? And if the goal is to be devoted to Christ and make an impact, a single person just has so much more availability. And so he develops this thought here. He goes, from now on, in light of this, those who have wives should live, and notice this little phrase, as if they had none. Those who mourn, going through hard times, as if they not. Those who are happy, as if they were not. Those who buy something, as if it were not theirs to keep. Those who use the things of this world, as if not engrossed in them. For this world, in its present form, is passing away. What's he saying? The brevity of life, the crucial need, have an eternal perspective. Those who have a very eternal perspective can realize, you know, your highs, don't get too high. Lows, don't get too low. You got a partner? Yeah, that's important, but there's more to life than a fulfilled marriage. He said, this present world, there's lost people. People are dying. And his point is, singleness is a preferred state in a crisis environment. And singleness here, secondly, is a preferred state because of the short time, better use of time, less demands. His point here is that number one, there's less trouble and worry. And number two, it's a better use, a more strategic and judicial use of time to impact for Christ. Many people don't know this and has not received a lot of press. I just learned it this week in my study. Did you know that John Wesley's wife left him? The founder of the great movement of Methodism, the circuit rider, the discipler, the visionary. You know why? Man, the guy's never home. He goes to America to spread the gospel. You know, she's saying, praise the Lord. And 5 years later, he comes back and she's saying, you know, John, I don't think we have a warm, meaningful relationship. And she took that for a while and then she split. He would have been much better off to be a single Christian, to accept, I think, probably the gift that he had. But the cultural norms like then are like now. It's not okay to be single instead of it being a high calling. Bob Pierce is another example. I'm not talking out of school. It's in his book by his daughter. He started World Vision. And I mean to tell you, you talk about a crackerjack organization. He got off a plane one day and saw starving kids, and he made a vow to God that in my lifetime, and he drove himself from early morning to late night, obsessive, compulsive, driven personality, and he linked in on kids will get to eat and they'll hear the gospel to get an education, and then he built an incredible organization. The only problem is his kids never saw him, and some of them grew up very bitter. He would have been better off being a single Christian. Some of you, God may put a passion on your heart. He may have a vision and a ministry for you that you can do it better single. Third reason is beginning in verse 32. First reason is a less trouble and less worry. Second reason is a better use of time. The third reason, and they all build on one another, is singleness is an advantage because it allows an undistracted devotion to the Lord. Let's look at it. Verse 32. I would like you to be free from concern. It's translated elsewhere in the New Testament as anxiety. The root meaning of the word means to have a divided mind or to be pulled in two different directions. When we're anxious, isn't that what happens? Oh, what if this happens? It's called being anxious. And he says, I don't want you to be pulled in two different directions. I don't want you to be concerned. I want you to be free from this concern. And then he explains it. He says, look, logically, an unmarried man is concerned about the affairs of the Lord, how he can please the Lord. But a married man is concerned about the affairs of this world, how he can please his wife, and he should. And his interests are divided, the source of that word. He's pulled in two different directions. An unmarried woman or a virgin is concerned, by the way, the reason he gives both, an unmarried woman would be someone who's possibly divorced or abandoned or is a widow. Unmarried woman, a virgin would be an unmarried woman who's never been married. Well, they're concerned about the Lord's affairs. Her aim is to be devoted to the Lord in both body and spirit. But a married woman is concerned about the affairs of this world, how she can please her husband, and she should. Verse 35, get the heartbeat of this. I am saying this for your own good, not as a restriction on you. He said, if this doesn't sit well with you, if this isn't where your heart's at, hey, fine. I'm saying this for your own good. I'm not trying to put a spiritual straitjacket on you and say only spiritual people are single. No, I'm just saying if you have a heart to impact the world and you really want to be devoted to Christ and you find yourself single, instead of saying, well, I wonder what's wrong with me, instead of saying life will begin when God brings a mate, instead of saying, I guess I'm not normal, say, hey, what an opportunity. This could be for my benefit. It's not to restrict you, but here's his reason. That you may live in a right way in, and here's where I get the principle, undivided devotion to the Lord. That's his point. John R.W. Stott is a single man, an Anglican, great evangelical, who's written and doing some of the best thinking in all of Christianity. And one of the reasons he can do it is he has an undivided loyalty. He's a single man. And you know what? I wasn't called to that. But part of the tension that I will have in my life is that when I have a full weekend of ministry, my four kids just don't say, hey, Dad, you know, man, have a great time. We'll see you next week. And they better never say it. So I have to arrange my priorities so that my loyalty can be to my family here and to the Lord here. And his only point is when you're single, you don't have that tension. so you can have a greater impact. All I'm saying for those of you who just think the grass is always greener, that if I was married, everything would be okay, sometimes you need to understand the problems are just different. You think you've got a cross to bear? Well, when's the last time you were with a kid in the emergency room? When's the last time you went out and bought tennis shoes and realized $300 for four pair? What? When's the last time you went out and bought school clothes? Jeans are up to $30. Are you kidding me? You know, and the pressures and the demands, it's life. And all I'm saying is with the Apostle Paul, hey, it's a life I love. But my point here is that singleness is a life of superiority in terms of devotion to Christ and impact for Him if you can accept the gift. If not, great. First, we as a church must begin to realize and view single people and singleness as, are you ready for this? Normal. In fact, more than normal, we should view them as spiritually superior in position for devotion to Christ and impact for the world. So let's stop trying to fix them up. Let's stop introducing them as, hello, this is Jane and she's single. Or this is Bob and he's single. Let's introduce, here's Bob and he's a dear brother in the Lord and I love him. And I think you two would like to get to know each other as believers. Let's treat them as normal. Let's view them just like we have white Christians, black Christians, Asian Christians, young Christians, old Christians, single Christians. Get the idea? They're just Christians. God has called them in that way. Concluding point number two, singles need to be given major responsibility of service in the body of Christ and not treated with suspicion of the world's standards. Oh, you know that phrase, you're 30 or 40 and not married? Fantastic! Are you available for work in the body? Great, man. Not, oh, what's wrong? Nothing's wrong. You have a gift from God that needs to be exploited to the max. You want to take this group overseas next summer for 3 months? Most of our people can't do it. Can you come in at 6 and do this? Can you come in at 9 and do that? Can you take on extra counseling load? You bet. Because God has freed you up for greater ministry. We need to give it to Him, and single people, you need to take it. Single people need to view themselves as normal. Single people need to view themselves as God has created me for such a time as this. And Lord, if you want to bring a mate, you bring a mate. But I will refuse to sit on my hands saying, well, I guess life will really start when Mr. Wright comes. Or I'll really get involved in service when I know what my husband or what my wife, what she really likes too. You say, God, these are the prime days of my life. Boom, am I going to go for it? I'm going to drink and seize in every opportunity for service, for reading. You can stay up late and read because no kid's going to get up at 5:30 and say, Mommy, that's what they do in my house. You can go to seminars. You can drop things off. You can learn. Go for it. Go for broke. And my experience is while you're going for broke, if you have a heart's desire for a mate, that's when God brings that person in, when you're not seeking for it, but when you're seeking Him. And then the final thing, because I want to be sensitive, is single people must see themselves through the lens of what they have instead of the lens of what they don't have. What you have is freedom, opportunity, time, less distractions, and flexibility. What you don't have is a mate. And there's some single people, and I don't mean to be harsh, because the pain, and I was one of those. Oh, God, I didn't get married till I was 24 and a half, and I wanted to be married from 20 on. And I understand what it's like. I mean, a little. I mean, I couldn't compare myself with some of you that are much older. But we do fall into that grass is greener. We think that, oh, if I was only married. I can tell you now, after a number of years of marriage, that if you can't be happy alone, adding another person with their problems and idiosyncrasies, you will not be happy together. Fulfillment does not come in a mate. It only comes from the Lord. There's a lot of us who really bought into that fulfillment would come from a mate. And you keep trying, and after 5 years, you say, you know something? Daggone it, this is just like being single. I'm just as frustrated in some areas as I ever was. Okay, Jesus, I guess I need to get my act so I can be a giver in this relationship rather than trying to get my needs met from it. And when we woke up to that reality, guess what? Our marriage just started clicking. Because we can't demand that the other person meet our needs. They don't have the capacity to. They'll hit a few. The final thing in closing is I want to give those sensitive groups that my heart goes out to who you're sitting here and you're saying, okay, great. It's a superior station. I can be more devoted to Christ. I'm freer. I'm more flexible. Okay, I got all that down. I want to be married. Okay? I mean, in the meantime, what do you do? What do you do? I want to be married. I want to nudge someone at church. I want to go out to breakfast together. I want to see kids in the emergency room if they're not real bad. You know? I'm ready to tackle this one. Let me give you four things, and they're easier said than done, but they're, I think, biblical. Number one, rejoice. Rejoice in what you have. Enjoy life now. Get off the holding pattern. Focus on what you have. Focus on the opportunities. Focus on the good. Number two, focus. Rejoice personally, then focus on your vertical relationship. Develop a relationship with God that you could never have any other time in your life. Drink it up, study it up, take classes, dig in, minister, go for broke. Number three, this is very important, rejoice, focus, cultivate strong social relationships. Focus on developing friendships with married people and single people, but make the focus friendships rather than romance, and let God turn on the light when He wants to, and you will save yourself so much emotional pain. Just be friends. Be brothers and sisters in the Lord. Be friends. Learn how to relate to the opposite sex totally with a non-sexual, non-emotional context. And some of you are saying, what? Yeah, it'll be hard. But I will tell you that as you do that, then if you're friends and God turns the lights on, you'll have the relationship you're looking for. Otherwise, you go through the roller coaster of could it be, could it be, could it be, chase one another away, play games, get more physically involved than you really wanted to, feel guilty, go through shame, feel, and then go do it again and again and again. Number four, work at becoming the right person instead of finding the right person. That is the best prescription I can give, because the kind of person you want to meet will basically be attracted to the kind of person you are. If you're godly and devoted and committed, it'll be a godly, devoted, committed man or woman that says, wow, that's what I was looking for. And if you're a flippant, casual, nominal Christian who's looking to grab someone, that'll be the kind of person that you attract. And you'll wake up 3 years later and saying, I thought singleness was bad. Man, this guy's a flake. Yeah, they're attracted to people not very committed. So, hard word, but become what God wants you to become versus try to find what you're looking for.
Becoming the right person first. Well, that's good advice. It really is about perspective, isn't it? If you're just joining us, you're listening to Living on the Edge with Chip Ingram. And Chip's message today, Singleness as God Sees It, is from his series, Singleness, Blessing or Curse. In this series, Chip deals with such things as sex and the single person, divorce and remarriage in the church, and how to handle singleness in a married world. This four-message series is available right now through Living on the Edge for a special on-air price. Call Living on the Edge today to order your set of Singleness, Blessing or Curse. The toll-free number is 1-888-333-6003. That number again is 1-888-333-6003. You may also order online at livingontheedge.org. That's livingontheedge.org. Whether you're single and never married, or single through a divorce or death, Chip's series Singleness, Blessing or Curse can help bring healing and hope to your life. Well, Chip's joined us here in studio today. Welcome, Chip.
Great to be with you. Thanks, Dave.
Well, I know you'll be back in just a bit to talk about today's message, but before you do that, I'd like you to take just a moment and elaborate a bit on how those who are married can encourage and help those who are single.
Well, this is one of those times, Dave, where I just give you a real-life example. I have a good buddy in the Modesto area. His name's Casey. He's a physical therapist, and he and his wife have a heart for single people.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were at a camp about a year ago, and they said, you know, we really need something to help single people. And so I sent him this DVD series called Love, Sex, and Lasting Relationships. And so I came to teaching that camp this year, and, you know, I got on my phone. I was excited, thought Casey would be there. And he said, oh, man, something came up. We couldn't come to the camp. But he said, by the way, while I've got you on the phone, last fall we took five different groups of single people through Love, Sex, and Lasting Relationships, and now two of them went away to college and started groups on their campuses.
Hmm.
He said, Chip, I just got to tell you, you know, with all the stuff going on out there, this is the clearest, best thing. We see single people. I mean, their eyes are open. The lights are coming on. They're doing relationships in really healthy ways. And I just have to tell you, that's the best counsel as a married person, whether it's a teenager, a college student, or someone who's been married and divorced and says, hey, I'd like to do it right the next time. This series, Love, Sex, and Lasting Relationships, I think, is the very best thing we can put in people's hands.
Thanks, Chip. The series Chip just mentioned is called Love, Sex, and Lasting Relationships. And right now, if you're willing to host a small group, perhaps in your home or at work or just with a couple of friends, we'll send you the DVD small group series Love, Sex, and Lasting Relationships at no charge. You just pay for the shipping. In addition, for those of you who want to go deeper with this study, we have significantly discounted our 5 packs of study guides. Now call Living on the Edge today at 1-888-333-6003 for complete pricing and ordering details. Or shop online at livingontheedge.org. That's livingontheedge.org. Now with some closing thoughts from today's broadcast, here once again is our teacher, Chip Ingram.
My goal as we close today's program is to give a word of encouragement to single people. I want to talk directly to you who right now in your life, until God shows you something different, it is the will of God for you to be single. I had a chance to teach this message recently, and it got into the hands of a young lady, a delightful young lady. I know that because I got to meet her a few months later. And she came from an ethnic and cultural background where not being married was not only a negative in the church, but from her ethnic and cultural background, it was like, no way. And she grew up, young woman, 25, 26, bright, lot going for her. She really didn't want to be married. Great devotion to the Lord. She was open to marriage. But I mean, aunts, uncles, pastors, everyone in the church was putting pressure on her to get married. She started believing something was deeply wrong with her. And she heard this message and she got to study. She said she went back, she wrote me a letter and talked about opening up 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and reading it for herself. And she said it was like the burden of the world came off her shoulders and she realized it's okay to be single. In fact, the Apostle Paul, you know, what did he say? It is better. If there's a calling there, our goal in life is to be devoted to Christ. It can be better to be single. And she said, you know, I don't know if God has a mate for me or not, but it was such a relief to know there's not something wrong with me for being single. And, you know, I just sense that there's probably a lot of people like her, and you may be one of them. And I want you to know God may give you a mate, and he may not. If he doesn't, he will give you all that you need to be fulfilled and complete in every way. And you know, if he does, praise God. But until then, let's take a second, just as we close, to review what you need to do in your singleness to be greatly used by God and to be greatly fulfilled. Number one, do you remember what we said? Rejoice. Thank God for what you do have, singleness, instead of for what you don't have, that mate. Two, focus on the Lord. Don't let your whole life subtly revolve around one day when I have a mate, then I'll start living, then I'll minister, then I'll grow, then I'll go to school. Hey, do it now. Three, build and focus on friendships. You know, get off that merry-go-round of you get interested, date for a while, break up, get interested, date for a while, break up. Build good Christ-like brother-sister relationships. Let God bring the romance in. And number four, focus on becoming the right person, not finding the right one. The kind of man, the kind of woman that you really want is going to be attracted to a godly, Christ-like person that Jesus wants you to become. Hey, press ahead, hang in there. It may be hard, but God is for you.
You know, each month your friends here at Living on the Edge give away dozens of free resources, and they'd like you to know about it. The Community E-News Bulletin keeps you up to date on the latest free offers from Living on the Edge. Takes just a few moments to sign up, and of course, it's free. Go to livingontheedge.org today to register for the Community E-News. Well, join us again tomorrow as Chip continues our current series, Singleness, Blessing or Curse. Until then, this is Dave Drewy saying thanks for joining us for this edition of Living on the Edge.